Welcome to Accounting Influencers, the podcast for accounting leaders and influencers who want to know exactly what makes the good firms great and the great accountants world class. Let's get today's show started with your host and founder of the BD Academy, Rob Brown.
Welcome to the show, and I'm really excited to have with me today from the Upstream Academy, it's Heath Alloway. Good day, sir.
Hey, Rob. How's it going?
We're fantastic, Heath, and great to have you on the show. I know innovation is a real passion of yours, Heath. We're going to dive into that, but just to give us a little perspective and a landscape to paint on, just outline for us some of the different ways in which accounting firms can actually grow.
Rob, there's several ways that firms can grow. And one is that idea of launching new services. So if you get out of the traditional compliance services, that really opens up that door, you know, geographic expansion, which right now may not be the best time. But then again, maybe it is because people are virtual. And then other areas are around banning different industries. Firms just driving that profitable organic growth year in, year out is a goal that a lot of firms have, but only certain firms get to that point. And some of that gets back to that trusted advisor mindset and how you approach business development and firm growth by helping your clients. I'm sure there's other ways that I didn't mention, but those are some of the core areas.
And when you talk about organic growth, what does putting that word organic in front of growth actually mean?
To me, when you look at organic growth, there's two things that come to mind. One is new clients and then expanding with current clients and then the launch of new services, new products that can help serve your client.
Yeah. And firms are looking for growth these days. And it's difficult, isn't it? Because when you think about growth, you think about business development and marketing, and accountants are not traditionally comfortable with terms like that, are they? They're technically super smart. They want to get on with the tax and the other related stuff. But when you ask them to do business development, they're not so eager. So whose job do you think growing the firm is?
Rob, I don't think that it's really a topic that anyone should be able to opt out on, whether it's partners, senior managers, managers, whatever the levels in a firm may be. Everyone should be contributing in some way, whether that's working with clients and bringing on new services or being part of a new service launch. If you're not growing, that's a dangerous spot to be in. And when you are growing, or that organic growth, that creates opportunities for everyone within your firm. And it's part of many firms' vision and mission statements of creating those rewarding career opportunities. It's better serving clients. So a lot of those topics really tie back into a firm mission statement. So in my mind, that everyone should play a role in that.
Yeah. And culture plays a big part in that, doesn't it?
Absolutely. 100%. It drives it. And if you don't have a strong culture, it's hard.
So when we talk about innovation, bringing in different services, increasing that share of wallet with clients, moving beyond the compliance offering, which we know is being devalued over recent years, innovation requires some definition. Because I guess if you asked 100 accountants what innovation means, you get 110 different answers. So let's start with Heath Alloway's Dictionary of Life and Business. What is innovation?
So you're 100% right, Rob. If you could ask multiple people, and in fact, I challenge people that go through our innovation program to go back and just go ask 10 or 15 people and see what kind of response they get. There's, I think, some frequent misconceptions, and that's sometimes why people fear innovation, or maybe they don't see themselves as being innovative. And part of that is probably the biggest misconception is around people who think that innovation is invention. They think it has to be something new or something new to the world that's never been done before. And frankly, that's not the case. It can be, you know, small incremental change. The biggest opportunity around innovation is identifying the problem or the issue. And if you can identify the problem and then work with others to create that solution and provide value, if you look at innovation, that's what it is. And most of people in our profession, they're good at identifying problems. And if you can do that and then help create the solution, that's what innovation is in its simplest form.
But aren't we asking too much of accountants in that they're not entrepreneurs, they're not always business owners. So we associate entrepreneurs with innovation, coming up with ideas, solving problems, but accountants, not so much. So can they be innovative? Is it inherent in all accountants that they can be a little bit more creative?
My hope is yes. You think of serving clients, and part of your promise on serving clients is helping them reach their goals, helping them through their problems. And if, you know, I think we get wrapped up in focusing too much on our competition and not listening to our clients. So it's to the core of the profession of listening and serving our clients. If you can take that mindset, you're going to find opportunities to innovate.
So paraphrasing your words, innovation is finding new ways to solve old problems. Would that be fair?
I think so, Rob. That's right on point.
Okay. So are there any other myths or challenges that are associated with firms being innovative?
There's two other big ones that stick out to me. Many times firms think innovation has to come from your senior leadership or top leadership, or even just your partner group. That's not the case. And innovation can come from anyone in your firm. It doesn't just have to come from your senior leadership. In fact, tapping into that power of your firm can be a pretty powerful. Sometimes even your people that may be 1 or 2 years in, they're not conditioned with all the processes and things like that. And they're still asking those questions of why. They're always asking, why do we do this? Or can we do something better? So tapping into that power of your firm is big too. And the other big thing, and I'll say this isn't a misconception, it's probably one of the biggest challenges is around capacity. Many times, if you look at traditional metrics of how firms are successful, it's counterintuitive to take one of your top performers and allowing them 200 or 300, 400 hours in a year to focus on developing a new service. And that's a challenge to get past. If maybe not all firms, but a lot of firms that have that problem of freeing up time.
That's an excellent point. When we talk about business development, which we do here at the Business Development Academy, the common objection to accountants, fee and his partners doing BD is that I just don't have the time. I'm too busy. I've got too much going on right now. I'm serving my existing clients. You're asking me to go out and build networks and raise my profile and engage the business community and encourage referrals. Haven't got the time and I'm not paid to do it. What do you say to people like that?
I try to reframe the mindset. Even talking on that topic of business development, I think there's misconceptions around that is. And the two biggest things that we hear, pushback, we don't have time. The second one is that people don't view themselves as a salesperson, but peel that back and you talk about that advisory mindset. It's about serving clients. And if you take where you can be most impactful with your business development time is even focusing on your top A and B level clients. Some firms will focus more on their pipeline than finding additional ways to serve the current clients. And there's a lot of parallels between innovation and business development and growing with your clients. Those are two of the opportunities.
Mm. Innovation as a topic, though, it's nebulous. It's intangible. It's even, dare we say, creative. And accountants get in their head around that. If they have a few spare hours, they don't just say, right, I'm going to innovate. I'm going to think up something. So how would you encourage them to embrace the concept of innovation and get started with it and maybe imbue in some kind of culture that encourages innovation?
One will be altering the way we would handle a client meeting. You hear brainstorming session. I would call it more of a question session. Okay. Of just sitting down and trying to clarify what would make this successful, what would make it fail. It's that concept of Stephen Covey of begin with the end in mind. Uh-huh. And if you can begin with that end in mind, step back and then you can start to build it. And there's a lot of power in questions. And at some point, I don't know if it's in our lives or in our careers, we feel like we have to have all the answers. And we need to go back to when we were kids and always asking those questions of why do we have to do this or can we do things different? So that's a big thing. And then an innovation type workshop. So going back to there's a lot of power behind your firm, get 20 to 30 people within your firm, block out a half a day and you can pose ahead of time some of your top challenges in the profession or top client challenges. Give them time to think about it and then come to a setting. And right now it's in a virtual environment. You can do it in Zoom breakout rooms, but have everyone come prepared with their ideas. Give them 60 seconds to pitch that to their group, kind of a rapid fire setting. And then you could go through a voting process, narrow down those ideas, and then get in smaller groups and continue to build those out over a half a day or a day's time frame. One, it's a way to generate a lot of ideas. Two, it's a way to build on those ideas. Because sometimes you can spend 6 months talking back and forth on whether it's a good idea or not. And you spend a lot of time and effort. But if you could do it in that day's time frame, it could really give you a pipeline of ideas to potentially take to market.
Sure. And when we ask people like accountants, what does innovation look like for you? They'll come up with a term like brainstorming. But that's just one technique to develop ideas, isn't it?
It is. I'm a big believer in getting multiple backgrounds, multiple industries, services, different niches, different times in their career, because there's a lot of power in perspectives. Sometimes if you're operating as an individual and you come up with an idea, you may go pitch that idea to your coach or another partner within the firm. And the conversation immediately goes to, this is why it won't work. And that's a good way for that $1 million idea to get shot down right out of the gates.
That's a good point. How do you deal with the people that are just not open to new ideas? We know accountants are not famous for changing, but COVID has certainly shown them to be more agile than we thought, even though they probably had to change. But there are always those people in the firm, usually the older ones, Heath, aren't they? But those people that say, look, it ain't broke. We don't need to fix this. Let's just keep chugging on the way we've been doing. We don't need all these newfangled ideas. How do you deal with those people?
Well, at some point, Rob, that's a dangerous statement of doing things the way we've always done it. It's hard though, because firms have been successful. And so when you're successful, it is hard to change, but at some point you have to continue to look for ways to bring different ideas to your clients and serve your clients. But you're right. There's always going to be some that have that viewpoint of this is the way we've done it. We don't need to rock the boat, so to speak. And you know, in that innovation setting or that the innovation concept, try to remove that and just say, we're not focusing on why something won't work. Any feedback that we have is building out the idea on why it can work. So focus on the problem, on how you can build it out. And I know that's not going to work in every time, because you're going to have some people that just their natural way of approaching new ideas is to say why it won't work. You know, there's time for that later on when you're developing an idea, but you just have to remove that concept altogether and focus on ways to make that idea better. Mm-hmm. And that's part of bringing back those different perspectives and backgrounds. Because when you do that, it brings in others that bring that different perspective. And that can be pretty powerful, because if you're operating in a box, it's going to be hard to ever get that new idea off the ground.
We mentioned culture and leadership earlier. How important is it that the leader set an example for innovating? And how important is the remuneration and reward structure that incentivizes things like innovation in a firm?
Leadership support is absolutely critical, but I also think that you have to understand all the ideas don't have to come from your top leadership.
Yeah.
So even just something as simple as doing a firm survey, a few questions, and it doesn't have to be the partner level. It could go clear down to a manager, maybe even the whole firm. You know, are you willing to invest in innovative service ideas? And then the other thought of, are you willing to invest time or capacity of some of your top people? And then third, are you willing to take new services to talk to your clients, your prospective clients about? And I think what you'll find is most firms will say yes to that, or most people that go through, they'll say it's important. But then 6 months or 8 months down the road, whenever you have a new service, you're ready to go to market, yeah. And they're not cross-serving, or I use cross-serving instead of cross-selling. You have that data to go back to say, wait a second, you know, 6 months ago, we said as a firm, this is the direction that we wanted to go. And then it really helps break down some of those barriers. And granted, not everyone will jump on board, but this is a good way to lean on data to go back to that survey data. So that's one way to build firm alignment.
But with something like innovation, there is an element of risk. It requires some investment of resource, of people, of time, of dollars. And we don't associate risk with accountants. They're paid to minimize and mitigate risk. So what advice do you have for firms that are looking to be more innovative and broaden their services, but perhaps don't want to take risks?
Two areas. One of the biggest mistakes I see firms make is they feel like they have to have the perfect plan to launch a new service. You could spend 6 months, 12 months and wait for that perfect plan. But from experience, there is no such thing as a perfect plan. I'm not saying don't have a plan, but just know once you start down that road, once you start going to market, once you start beta testing it with clients, that plan is going to evolve over time. So you're going to test, you're going to take it to market, you're going to learn from it, you're going to come back, you're going to revise, and you're going to continue to build out that idea. So don't be paralyzed in making that mistake of thinking you have to have the perfect plan. The second thing, I'll give you three questions to think about before you start to develop an idea. These will sound simple to ask. They're not always the easiest to answer. But one of those is just simply, do our clients want it? Have you had conversations with clients? You know, is it something you're frequently hearing in your client base? Have you had more in-depth conversations to see if this is something that there's a real need? And then the second part of that is, can we make money? So how can we be profitable with the service? Is it something that will be highly leveraged type work? Is it getting outside the charge hour concept? Is it more value focused? So starting to think through how you can make money, how you can be profitable. And then that last area is around, is it something that we already have access to? So can we build it? Is it a technology the firm already has? Is it something we'll have to build? Is it something that we would have to go purchase? So those are three key questions out of the gates. If you can start answering some of those questions, that will help address some of those risks before you start going down that road of development.
Yeah, they're very good. And we would call that due diligence or market research or even a bit of road testing an idea, right?
Oh, yes, absolutely, Rob. And simple things of even a sketch on a piece of paper and going and having a conversation of, here's what we're thinking with the service line, that can give you really good insight. And that's not expensive and it's not time consuming. So it's a way to go start having conversations with clients.
Another question you might ask is, if we built this, would you be willing to pay for it? Because too often we come up with great ideas, we build it, we launch it, and people say, well, we like it, but we can't afford it, or we don't want to pay for it.
Yeah, that's part of the due diligence on the front end of having those conversations up front. You know, sometimes we fall in the trap of making assumptions that our clients have a need for a specific service. Some sometimes those assumptions can be very accurate, but if they're not willing to pay for it, it doesn't really make sense to go down that road. And I would say don't just rely, though, on one or two clients. Make sure you have some broad discussions and not just with one or two clients. Make sure to get a good sample set before you make that type of decision.
And I'm thinking right now of some of the areas in which firms can innovate. There's obviously that client side and bringing in new services for them that would serve those clients better and add more value, but you can also innovate to make the firm more efficient, more effective, can't you? So you just want to expand on some of those areas where a firm can innovate to grow?
Sure, Rob. So a couple of things to think about. I'll share some thoughts to kind of help set the stage. So if you think about innovation, I'll put it in three different buckets. And that first bucket is where most innovation happens. That's that small incremental change. That could be to internal firm processes. That could be looking at various ways to leverage, you know, firm technologies that you have access to. Then I'm going to jump from bucket one to bucket three. Innovation leads to invention. That's the new to the world. That's where we see less innovation. But then there's that bucket in between where it could be anything in between, from incremental change to that new invention to the world. If you take those same concepts and apply them internally, it could be efficiencies within a firm. It's a road that we have to be careful when we go down to how we communicate that to clients. You know, if we're looking at it from an audit perspective and it's going to take less time to do an audit, our client's going to want to pay less because it takes less time. Are we tied to the charge hour? But it's still the same value, or maybe even more value, but you're maybe doing it in a more efficient manner. So there's a lot of opportunity to look internally at internal processes where you're seeing your biggest pain points. Then, you know, the same concepts go. If you're finding problems or issues within a firm, it's the exact same thing. The concepts apply internal as much as they do externally as well.
This is great, Heath. If people want to learn more about the stuff that you do for firms all over the world, what's a good way for them to reach you?
LinkedIn is a great way to reach out. My email address is just first name, last initial. So Heath@upstreamacademy.com. Feel free to go to our website at Upstream Academy as well. So I would love to hear from anyone in the profession. I love having these type of conversations. You know, it's how I learn it as well. So Rob, it's been great and I've enjoyed the conversation.
Sure. And just to finish, Heath, let's scare the accountants a little bit. What's going to happen to those firms and those accountants that will not or cannot innovate and adapt to what is coming up?
So a few thoughts around that, Rob. When I think about technology, I'm not a believer that technology is going to replace everyone. There's still too much of that personal connection in our profession. But what I will say is if something can be automated in our profession, it potentially will be automated. And, you know, other firms are doing that. If you look at the pace of change, it only continues to increase. And then you throw the whole COVID piece of this. Firms found out they were better at change than maybe than what they thought they were. That was forced innovation. They didn't have an option. They had to change.
Yeah.
And so I hope firms can take what we learned from that and not try to go back to normal, but we learn and we try to get better from that. Many firms are trying to get more advisory in nature. I don't think the traditional compliance services are going away, but you are seeing a bigger move towards that advisory type service. Yeah, it's one of those deals that throughout a career, we're going to have to learn to unlearn and relearn and continue to learn and change and adapt. And it's happening whether we like it or not. So having a process or a mindset will help position your firm for future. Hopefully that's helpful.
Yeah, well, Heath Alloway, you've definitely given the accountants listening some good reasons to innovate and also some great ways to do it. So thanks so much for your time and your insights today.
Appreciate it, Rob. I've enjoyed the conversation.
You've been listening to Accounting Influencers, the podcast for accounting leaders and influencers who want to know exactly what makes the good firms great and the great accountants world-class. For show notes on today's and other episodes, plus some great blogs and resources to help accountants lead, sell, and perform at the highest levels, go to bdacademy.pro. Until next time, have a fantastic day.